It's 902-1-OMG with Jenny Garth and Tori Spelling.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. This is our first real episode of 902-1-OMG. We've been having some problems, though. Tori, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you see
can
me?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear Unfortunately, me now? I can hear you very clearly, yes.
Okay. Do you want me to stop talking?
No, not yet. Boy, but it's the podcasting is for the young. This is stressful, getting like the microphone to work.
Because we're not tech savvy. But you know what? Pat on the back. We are doing a really good job. Because it's happening. Yeah, it's on.
I don't know how
it's
this
on
is happening.
Like Donkey Kong.
Well, I mean, it's a little hectic everywhere. I think 2020 is just like kicking all of our asses, right? Or am I alone?
Nope.
You're definitely not alone.
Yeah, I feel like it's been a lot and everybody's stressed out. I'm really stressed out all the time and it's a lot. So I kind of felt weird about starting a podcast, you know, in this moment. I don't know if you felt that.
Yes and no, because I feel like people are really excited. They want to go back to happier times. They want to be comforted. They want to laugh and smile. And that's us. We're here.
So I guess it's kind of like, we'll just consider our show self-care then instead of TV rewatch show.
I love that.
I like that. Let's go with that.
Give yourself an hour and listen to our show. Speaking of listening to our show, they'd probably like to talk about the show.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're here to give you all the feels. We're jumping right into the
pilot. Why do they call it a pilot?
I don't know. Maybe that's something we should have Googled before we did a podcast, but I have no idea.
Well,
let's
this
just
was
say
the
first
pilot.
Episode. First episode.
Okay, first episode. Yeah. But the first episode
was
longer than the regular episodes, right?
It was like 90 minutes. Is that correct?
No, I was watching and I was like, oh my God, this is the longest episode of TV I've ever seen. Or maybe that's
just me.
Did
they divide it when they aired it into two episodes?
We talked about that last week. You're right. They divided it. I think.
But the rest of them are going to be like 45 minutes long.
Okay.
Yeah.
I tell you what.
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about the show now?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Oh my gosh.
I watched the show back. And are you going to talk or am I going to talk? What do you think? We watched it together.
Go.
Over Zoom, right? Well,
okay,
see you, but it's been
a nightmare. This is the first time we have ever watched the show together. And we did. I'm not going to lie. It took me back to us being teenagers and literally like we giggled and had commentary over clothes and boys. And I don't know. And it made me miss you more because we're not in the same city right now.
I know. I really loved watching it with you too. And because I had somebody to talk about everything with and maybe
that understood, you know,
they
right?
They don't know all my jokes or whatever. Yeah.
I know.
So we watched it. How much did you love it though? I love the way the show opens. Mm-hmm. It's like super colorful, like beautiful things everywhere. It's like creates right out of the gate a world you want to go to, you want to visit, right? Like I don't know. I love the cinematography on the pilot.
I agree. Like I'm getting the chills just hearing you say that because it's true. Even though, you know, I grew up in that world. So for me to be able to sit back and watch it as just a viewer and be like, yeah, I'm transfixed. I want to be with these people. 100%.
That's so cool. You grew up in that world. I grew up on a farm, basically. And so that was a whole new world to me. And I still want to be a part of it when I look at it.
I mean, it's definitely embellished for the sake of TV.
You think?
But we'll get to that. Should we start at the beginning?
Maybe. Okay.
Okay. Let's do it.
Like the way Brandon Walsh wakes up with perfectly gelled hair. Like alarm clock goes off.
Oh my God. You just destroyed the illusion of like we all want to believe that Jason Priestley actually, you know what, you guys, I'm going to go with he probably did wake up with perfect hair.
I would believe it too.
Yeah.
Back in the day, he always looked good.
Oh my
Not
God.
That he doesn't now, but like.
No, he's a handsome, distinguished man.
Yeah.
You know,
but
he
that
just,
moment
you know,
that
he'll
he
say
captured
it. He just turned
hearts.
50, has two kids. But then he was just like, wait, can I say the word? You know what he was as a teen girl? He was a dreamboat.
Can you say that? Were you worried that was a bad word? Dreamboat?
I don't know.
Yeah. He was a dreamboat. I just felt like a 16-year-old girl. He was.
16-year-olds don't say dreamboat.
They did in the 50s, so hello. I'm like going back to a different era. I'm just bringing it all back.
Okay.
Okay. But he was dreaming.
He was dreaming. Absolutely. Yeah. I thought the whole beginning was just so compelling. And like, yeah. I just wanted to spend my time with them. I mean, can you imagine like people watching it all over the country, all over the world, and like that image and that lifestyle that was all of a sudden exposed to them. They had never seen, I don't think the audience had ever seen like Beverly Hills like that, or, you know, how teens live in Beverly Hills.
No way.
Well, I'm going to dispel the myth. It doesn't, it's not like that.
So glad we have
valet park. There is no valet parking.
No?
No, but it was a nice added touch.
Wait, so you went to this school? You went to like Beverly Hills High in real life?
Here we go again, you guys. Here's my best friend. Has no idea where I went to school. Nope.
I know. I love this about you guys.
Wait, I knew you went to school. At least I knew that. I didn't go to school. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I'm street smart, not book smart.
Like at all? Wait, did you really not go to school?
Well, I went to my sophomore year, and I didn't like it, so I stopped going. That's a true story.
You start working so young that you then...
No.
Oh, that part I didn't know.
I just moved here from Arizona. I shouldn't go off on a tangent. People don't care about this.
This is what they care about.
They care about. I care. I want to hear this. I'm super fascinated.
Okay. I'll tell it quick then. We just moved here when I decided to be an actress, and I was going to re-enroll in high school because I left between my freshman and sophomore year, and or maybe it was sophomore junior. I think it was sophomore junior. So I went to tour school in LA, and this is, you know, it's a big city and there's a lot going on. I was so overwhelmed and like scared that I said, Mom, I can't do it. I can't go in there. And I knew no one. I was too freaked out by it. And she was so cool about it. She she said, it's okay. We'll get you a GED and you don't have to go. So that's what I did.
Wow. Well, you started 90210 when you were like 16 anyways. So
yes, shortly after we moved to town. But anyway, that's enough about me.
And you just lived the rest of your high school on TV.
Enough about you. This is literally a podcast about the two of you.
It's not about me. It's about Kelly.
The podcast is over, guys.
the show is about Kelly and Donna. And
what was it like seeing your guys' names in the credits for the first time? Even just rewatching
every
it last night.
Time. Go, you say first. Every time I see my name, I get excited. Like,
okay,
I'm like,
see?
Look, I was on that show.
I did it.
Wait, do you do that too? I do that too. Are you silent? Like when no one's watching?
I know. I try to get
clap
everybody
for
in the room to cheer, but it doesn't really catch on.
They're here with my wine. I don't know what to do.
You
grab that wine.
Get it. Go, leave. You can. Are the children bringing you?
I mean,
wine?
This is real life.
Wow. Oh my god! Thank you.
This is mom goals.
Is that a Chardonnay?
Oh, it's a beer. I think it's a beer. What is that? Whatever it is, drink it. Are you signing the check?
Yes.
This is so good.
Oh, boy.
Tori's in a hotel room right now because she's filming stuff.
I am.
We're filming what you're something. Doing.
Thank you so much for bringing that up.
We're filming something too. Hello.
Thank you so much.
So back to the show.
So the credits.
Shoot,
they brought Chardonnay. You know I don't drink Chardonnay.
Okay. Oh, just drink it.
That's
today.
The issue. I get it.
Man.
I get it.
It's disappointing, but I think you can handle just a switch for tonight.
Fine.
And it's fixed.
Taste tested and approved. All righty, let's talk about the show. Were you excited too? You were excited too when you saw your name in the lights, you know, in the credits?
Well, yes, considering. So I have a question. I wonder, like now that we see it and we watched it together over Hulu, my name was there and I forget the order. Like, But we all had numbers on the call sheet. Do you remember your number?
3.
Okay. I think I was
8.
So there's Jason. I think so. I came right after Brian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And definitely. Brian came after Luke. Okay.
So, yeah.
So, but technically, when we filmed this, I don't think I was a series regular.
Right.
It probably would have been like co-starring. But by the time it's on Hulu now, like, my name's up there. And I was like, oh. I'm not sure if originally when it aired, probably not. I don't know.
That's something to ask a super fan.
So the only bummer about streaming it and stuff that I witnessed just by watching the pilot, it is the music, like what you brought up, because all the soundtrack is completely changed.
I feel sorry for anybody that's watching it with the new soundtrack. It's a lot. It's like there's so much music all the time and so much.
You guys, let us just say we were cutting edge. Like we had all of the great, like brand new music that was just infused in there, right? Like everything that was popular. And
well, you can go in. There's these websites. You have dedicated fans that have created these websites that show you exactly what songs were in each episode of each season. I know, it's crazy. So it's really nice. I guess if you really did want to know, you can go back and look at that.
Well, I think that's a good thing to do because the music in the new cut is horrid. But if some people like it, then I'm happy about that. Because originally the whole story was told with the music. Like it really set the tone for the show. So
I think we can get past it.
It did. Music and wardrobe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the wardrobe.
We were just there. We were just fillers.
Yeah, they could have put that stuff on anybody.
So you didn't get to choose. I gotta go back. Can I go back to just as a fan? Because keep in mind, like Jen never watched the show, but I watched the show with my friends weekly. Every Wednesday night, my actual high school friends and I got together in a group and we watched it as just like fans, just for the first season. So cool. And then it went on. But so just seeing like the twins, seeing Brandon and Brenda, like, oh my gosh. I don't know. Just seeing Shannon as Brenda just gave me all the feels like back. I was like, oh my God, look at them. Like,
100%.
First of all, they're dressed out of place. Mm-hmm. They drive, Jen and I were just talking about this, a poop brown car. Let's just call it
a brown car.
It's a poop brown car.
With the color of the car for some reason.
Upset.
Like, why? Why that? Why did that upset you?
Because I'm a detail person. The devil's in the details.
Okay.
But just seeing them, like, he's dreamy. She's beautiful. Yet you relate to them because you're like, oh, I just want them to win. You know, I want them to succeed. So they were so great in the roles. Like,
they really were.
Because both of them are gorgeous. Like, they could play any part. I mean, Shannon was in Heather's playing the popular girl. And now all of a sudden she was, like, the newbie. So. Yeah.
I thought so too.
The testament to their
acting was really top notch.
Really good.
Yeah, I was surprised because, like you said, I've never watched it, and I was in instantly. Like their acting drew me in, and I really, really thought they did a good job too.
Do you think Jason in the early episodes had almost a hint of a New York accent?
I don't know. I couldn't really hear him.
Or is it more like
staring
that?
At him.
Yeah.
Well, where they were from, they were from the Midwest. Where are they from again?
Jason's from
Minneapolis.
Canada.
No, they're no
Milwaukee.
Is it Minneapolis?
She doesn't know where reality.
No, it's an M place. It's an M.
It's definitely an M place. Minnesota.
Minnesota. Oh, I remember. Hello. Thank you.
So there's a twang there, right? Isn't there?
Yeah, I don't know. Is there?
Probably.
Oh, is that what he was doing?
Maybe he was really owning it.
Oh, maybe.
So I got to be honest. I was telling Jen this last night, and she's like, are you doing research? I'm like, no, it popped up on my Instagram. But it was an interview on Instagram with Jason right when the show had taken off, first season on the Joan Rivers show. And you guys, this is why I'm bringing it up. He seemed to have a New York accent. It was so bizarre. And I also told Jen, she was like, give a one-word answer for all of the cast. She said all of the cast names except for me. But I still love Joan. Loved her. And he described Jenny as he said teddy bear. And then he said adorable.
Oh.
Isn't that nice?
And she was like, a teddy bear. I'm not a teddy bear. I'm like, I know. More like a prickly pear.
I'm not prickly. That's so mean. You love it. Look at, she loves harassing me. Okay. I'm not prickly, you guys.
Look how much energy I just got.
Wow. You really need to shave those legs.
I'm a teddy bear. I do. I'm a teddy bear, you guys. Come on. Don't you see it?
But that means it was probably really early on in the season. He didn't know you yet. And he just was like, oh, she's so cute and sweet and giggles and hugs.
No, I think I used to be so much more like giggly and like more, you know, we are young. Of course, we all were. You are the one that you just stay effervescent always and don't ever seem to mature. I mean, grow up. So, no,
you call me effervescent forever. I love
effervescent. That's a great word.
Oh my God, I usually like being called cute and quirky. Now I want to be called effervescent.
Effervescent.
Yeah. Oh, does that mean bubbly?
Yeah, you're like champagne.
Oh, I love you.
I love you.
And you're like vodka.
What? Oh my God, this is horrible.
Well, we're yin and yang. This is what makes up our dynamic.
I don't want to be yang. How about
obviously
that?
You're amazing, or I wouldn't be best friends with you. What are you talking about?
Can I be yin sometimes?
Okay, it's yin.
Oh.
And you're always yin. I'm yang. Did you forget how this goes?
Well, I don't want to be yin.
Jenny, Tori, you're yin, I'm yang. Can we go back to the poop brown car? So,
please.
Can we go back first of all to first seeing Cindy Walsh, Carol Potter?
What a beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Stunner. How old do you think she was, though, when she did the pilot?
Oh, good question.
Oh, geez. Someone fact check.
I think like in her mid-30s, maybe. Early 30s.
Oh, really? I was going to say she was like mid-40s.
No way.
I mean, is someone fact checking? Because
we should fact check this because I want to talk about her versus us presently because we're probably about the same age as she was playing the mom then.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting. Guess.
Although Jenny thinks she was like 31.
She is 72 now.
I can't do math. She's 72. We just filmed with her last summer. She looks great, you guys.
72 minus 30 is 42, everybody. It's the 30th anniversary. I love that you all could not do that math.
The voice of God.
Didn't even try.
Thank you, God. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't even try either. Math, I can't. I don't do math. I don't math.
Once I put letters in it, I was out. That.
So yeah. Think about the 40-year-old woman 30 years ago as opposed to the 40-year-old woman today. It's different. It's just portrayed differently.
I mean, so many things throughout the show are portrayed differently in today's world. Like our show, this episode had so many moments, cringy moments for me, like where I was uncomfortable.
Yes. Like,
with what they were saying.
Wait, I want to go back to, like, I feel like women in their 40s are allowed to look hot and young and sexy, but women in their 40s then had to be the mom, and it was very, like, conservative, and, like, don't you agree?
Oh, no, why are you getting so deep? This is, like, this was Cindy Walsh. She was supposed to look like that.
From Minnesota.
I'm fascinated that we're the same age. Like, we're older. We're older than the parents.
Okay,
on the show.
Well, can we move on? I don't really like this game.
Okay, fine. So the car. Go to the car.
The car, the shit brown car. You call
it
poo.
So Jen said the reason the car, how'd you describe it? They were setting the stage.
It was supposed to be like a clunker, right?
Right, and show like, you know, they didn't have money. They had, you know, they didn't get new cars like the kids in Beverly Hills. They had something used that they
didn't
had
fit
to
in.
Work for. They didn't fit in. And my point to her was, though, but it didn't have to be poop brown. Like, that's just taking it too far. And Mondale was the car, right?
Yes, the car had a name. Why did it even have a name?
Oh, my God.
What
Who named
Mondale
it?
What was Mondale for?
I don't know. The guys, they must have named it Mondale. They must have named probably the guys, or I don't know,
the writers,
Transville guys?
Or, like, who's these guys you speak of?
I don't know. Just the guys that made all the decisions about everything.
I wonder why it was Mondale. There must be a reason. Know. Or if like Jason and the guys just like named it that one day so they wrote it in. I have no
idea.
I bet
that's it.
But it didn't have to be poop brown because I've never seen a car, even a clunker, that's been poop brown.
And then you had someone like Ian Ziering, like Steve Sanders' car, Ferrari. His license plate even was personalized. I ate a Ferrari.
So good.
You guys, he has t-shirts. Do you have one of the t-shirts?
I ate a Ferrari. No, I'd like one.
He has them. He'll give you one. He has merch.
I have one.
I sleep in it. I sleep in my I ate
That's
a Ferrari
so cute.
T-shirt.
You know, I saw really also cute. That the 90210 bro has his license plate is not a, is does he have it now?
Really?
Yeah, on a vintage car or something. I think I saw that in his feed. Ooh. I'm not sure.
But the other cars were so flashy and gorgeous and like everything that it was so
even the
glossy.
Teachers had crappier cars than the students. That was the
see,
best
that's what we're talking about this. A cringy moment, like portraying teachers like they have to park in a separate parking lot with the shitty cars, you know?
And the sign like staff and faculty parking, it was all like bashed Stretched in and out. Battered and dirty and like
and see when you were saying cringy.
A teacher flew out of a van that was straight out of like Fast Times at Ridgemont High. It was like a Spicoli van, but the teacher was like running like he was late. Like that was weird.
Weird. I don't understand that whole
But
message,
when you said cringy, I was thinking more of like the Brenda scene where she meets the guy at the club and like he okay. takes her
that,
back.
How do you know all my cringy moments? That is another one.
That
it gets me
she
worked
has
up when
a
I talk
lot
about
of
this.
Feelings about that.
I get worked up. Okay, I think it's because I have teenage daughters, but seeing
okay, we're off track. Wait, you're going forward.
Can't we? Can't we go forward?
Well,
is that
I think
okay?
we can because I think we actually have Maxwell ready if we want to talk to him.
Wait a second.
Hi.
Hey,
lady. How are you?
Hi.
So good to see you. Wow. It's been a minute.
Thanks. Still ticking.
Look how handsome you still are.
Yeah.
Oh, well, ladies, thank you.
So do you remember, I mean, of course you remember being on the show and playing that character?
I have two distinct memories. Tori's dad obviously gifted me the role, as he did practically my whole career. And with his passing, it practically ended. But at the same time, I double-edged sword working for Aaron because you got sort of categorized as a spelling style actor. But it didn't mean, it just meant that you were, you know, you had a lot of gusto and obviously you had your, at the time in the peak of your youth, you had your...
You had the
8x10 looks going, yeah. And so that's why that compliment means a lot. Thank you. There was also, an insinuation that your work would be shallow, you know what I mean, as opposed to, and the best way to always tackle work from the Aaron Spelling production line was to really go at it with total gusto. Yeah. And funnily enough, my first scene was with Shannon. And she was such a trooper. It was a location. It was some townhouse on the edge of Beverly Hills where I guess my character owned an apartment and had taken her back there. She was practically jailbait.
It's kind of creepy. No offense to you, but it was kind of creepy to me. It reminded me of American Psycho.
She said that, which is a huge compliment.
Christian Bale was
super
so
sexy.
Hot. Yeah. But yeah,
Maxwell Caulfield,
right.
Super sexy. It all made sense. But they always were tapping in, even in the pilot, into things that teens were actually going through. And
I was
no one
playing
talked
a lawyer.
About it at the time, but it happened.
That's right. I was playing a kind of an L.A. slick attorney who had a yen for young women. And Brenda came onto my radar. But as I say, Shannon was amazing. I mean, the first thing we had to do was make out.
Oh my God. We
didn't leave, like, there was almost
That's
no time.
That's the worst.
I know.
It always happens in your first scene is like.
Always.
The love scene or the make out scene.
Yeah. Why did they do that?
Why do they do that to actors? Oof.
But in this instance, they were rushing. They were rushing because they were late. But they'd already moved location once that day. And they wanted to grab this shot at the end of the day. I literally did not have time to say hello to the girl. And we had to go into like the full tongue sandwich routine. It was like, wait a minute.
Hilarious.
Wait. Maxwell Caulfield just said tongue sandwich.
Well, oh my goodness. I think I'm exaggerating.
Did you stick your tongue in Shannon Doherty's mouth?
No, but I tell you what I do recall. I was in the very last shot of the pilot too. And it was, again, it was a night shot. And I was sitting on a wall with her to set up the lights somewhere. And she was like going, listen, okay, I'm knocking off this pilot, she goes. But if those guys, and she was referring to her agents, who happened to be my agents too, a couple of guys called Scott Harris and Howard Goldberg, who went on to be partners in Innovative, or certainly Scott did, dear Howard left us. But she goes, if they haven't got me another gig by next month, I'm out of there, she goes. Because I guess she wasn't convinced that the pilot was going to sell, and she was just so keen to work. And actually, there were quite a few doubters, I think, who thought the show would go over. It kind of helped launch the Fox network, if I recall. It's 30 years ago now, right?
30 years ago, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know, but can you be on every episode of our show? This is amazing.
He's detail-oriented
like me, right, Jen? He remembers everything.
He does. What a memory. You must take your ginkgo biloba.
And the other thing I remember now, but I only just crossed my mind, was a sequence we shot. You know, the Beverly Glen Center there, the top of Beverly Glen, you know, with the little restaurants and the little parade of shops there. There used to be a really nice Italian restaurant. I think it became a jazz club later. But we were sitting in a scene around a table.
Yes, remember the garlic knots there?
Yeah, and they...
I hope he didn't eat those before his kissing scene.
No, good point. But this was my only other, I think I had three scenes total in the pilot. And this one, the lighting guys had rigged a lamp directly over this table in the trellis work overhead. And there was sort of this ominous creaking sound. And the way I recall it, I suddenly sort of pushed Shannon back and this huge lamp crashed down onto the table.
You saved Shannon Doherty's life.
Well, I'd like to take lay claim to that. She may beg to differ, but I saw myself as Prince Charming in the show, even though I was playing a lech. But the thing is that I went ballistic. I sort of like started yelling at all the grips and stuff, like, you know, what is this amateur night production with this half baked script? I was really furious because one of us could have got
so sexy. Could have
got
keep
brain.
Going.
And at this point, suddenly this young man steps up and he goes, well, actually, I wrote the script. And I went, oh, Mr. Star. No. It's just a heat of the moment, explosion of temper. But I didn't get asked to come back, so that may explain it, or any subsequent Darren Star shows.
Ooh-wee, that is like an example of what not to do to come back to a series.
And of course, I really endeared myself to the crew going off on them too as well.
Yeah, watch them light you nice ever again.
Wait, I have a question. Sorry, timelines aren't going to be right. But wait, were you on Dynasty and the Colbys at this time? Like you had...
I'd done my stint. I'd done a brief stint on Dynasty, segued to the Colbys, the spinoff, as it were, with that great all-star cast that your dad put together, legends of the industry, Charlton Heston and Barbara Stanwyck and Catherine Ross and Ricardo Montalban and some really spectacular people. And he was so sweet. He was such a loyal producer, as you know. You've heard this countless times, Tori. I think he put me on his new edition of The Love Boat. Not a member of the crew or anything. He was smarter than that. But he gave me a nice turn playing some hysterical French chef, I think. I just can't say enough about the man, really. He was very good to myself, of course, but also to my wife, Juliette Mills. He employed her any number of times. I think she did so many guest shots on The Love Boat, playing the foil for these great comic actors that your dad used to like to cast her opposite because she's such a funny girl herself. They ended up giving, say, in the last episode, she was working in the gift shop. She had become a member of the crew.
Wow. From my knowledge, my dad adored you, and he always said he's a star.
Thank you.
So thank you for those kind words. That makes me, oh my God, that warms my heart. Makes me miss my dad a lot.
The whole industry does, Tori. The whole industry does.
I feel like the new generation, people don't know my dad, and that makes me sad.
You used to, all you used to have to do, he used to have that meeting place with that bench, I remember. And there was, you know, any number of people who worked, his associates were around him. But he would sit on that bench, puffing on his pipe, and basically, he didn't ask you to act. He just assumed you could act. He just wanted to make sure you were a decent guy, you know?
Absolutely.
And then you'd walk out of the room having nailed the gig, you know, landed the job.
I remember a very similar story with him. Like, he was so sweet during my audition that
tell us about your audition.
Oh, sorry. But I just want to tell you this funny moment. When I left the building that his offices were in after my audition, I was walking across the parking lot and I heard someone like call out for me. And I looked back and he was hanging out of the window on the second story of this building, second or third story of this building.
Oh my God.
Hanging out of the window and waving at me. And he was like, good job. He was like, you did good. Thumbs up.
Yeah, that's him.
That's huge, Jen. You have no idea how he hated heights. So he loved you from from jump.
Well, he made me feel special from the gate. Yeah,
so. I'm very proud of what you all went on to do. I mean, Gabrielle, obviously our leader at the Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah, our leader.
She is. She's been in the position now for since 2012, I think. And third term she's serving.
She's awesome.
I got to do a movie with Jason about 3 years later, a fun movie that should have done better called Calendar Girl. I just had a turn in that.
I love that movie.
Jason showed you. Oh, do you? Sweet. Movie. Well, And obviously without wanting to bring you girls to tears, I've already been trying talking about Dear Daddy. you know, Luke, who really genuinely did have a James Dean quality, which is frankly in my book the highest praise you can pay to any young actor. The fact that he signed off with a Quentin Tarantino movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I just think is just the neatest thing, you know. You know, they say stars know how to make exits and entrances, you know. So you're all doing great, and obviously we all want Shannon to push through and show her resilience. As I say, she's a feisty broad. She was back then. I'm sure she's not less now.
She's a fighter. She's a very strong woman.
Yeah.
So I'm sure.
So lots of love
okay.
to Shannon if she's listening today.
She'd love to hear that.
You're amazing. Awesome. Oh my gosh. I love hearing you speak and hearing your stories. I would be amiss if I didn't ask about Grease 2 because it's one of my favorite films ever.
Wait. Yeah, that's right. Tell us what it was kiss Michelle Pfeiffer.
I don't want to hear about Michelle Pfeiffer. I want to talk about Cool Rider.
I want to hear about the kiss.
Okay, yeah. Oh, okay, go. Okay. And go.
No, I must say, I would honestly have to say, now I have been blessed to make out with some very pretty women over the years. Michelle, when she did deliver in that department, really did. I mean, I really was seeing stars. She kept me on lean rations throughout the shoot. And I don't mean in terms of an opportunity to get a hold of her physically. I just mean in terms of just our emotional connection. But when it came to the crux in all the key scenes, the diner scene, and obviously the scenes on the bike, and then right at the end of the movie, at the luau.
She's fangirling out. Tori's fangirling out right now.
Yeah. I'm freaking out right now. Keep talking.
No, I mean, yeah, she obviously absolutely luminous woman. And one of the most fun experience I ever had was making that movie. The second I would have to say was doing, in terms of film and TV, was doing the Colbys, the series. Two fantastic years wearing Italian suits, driving Ferraris, you know, 6 foot tall girlfriends. Although I'm married to a 5 foot tall woman, so it's not necessarily my predilection. It's just that sort of Rod Stewart thing of, you know, runway model type chicks.
Wait, can we go back to Grease too? And then we have more questions about you and your wife. Sorry. Wait, did you have a crush on Michelle Pfeiffer during the movie? Like, you know, actors, we all know you kind of, the lines blur. Are you spending so much time in an emotional connection?
Well, I tell you what we did. We both were very cognizant of the fact that if the film clicked, it could have really launched our careers in a major way, right? And so there was a bit of a focus on that for both of us. I don't mean we were in our separate camps talking to our entourages about our next move or anything. But my recollection of it is that Michelle actually seemed to get on with, she got on famously with everybody, but she had part of her mystique was that she did have a reserve about her, which a lot of movie stars do. They save a part of themselves. Mm-hmm. So to read between the lines, I would have to say, I know that there was times when I'd be like, oh my God, she gets on better with the Teamsters than she does with the leading
man. You got
man.
A little jelly? Yeah, Maxwell got a little jelly.
No, listen, I had a chorus line full of high school girls that was there to keep me otherwise engaged.
Never say that again.
No. So funny enough, my dad gave Michelle Pfeiffer her first job. It was a series or pilot. It didn't go, I don't think, called Bad Cats. But he was like, she's going to be a star. And then he worked with you. So it's interesting that you guys were both in Grease 2. Just little
trivia. Is amazing. Trivia.
There you go.
Listen, girls, you're doing a great job. How many episodes of this you going to do?
We don't know. You're on our very first episode. How does that feel?
Yeah.
Oh, here am I hogging the airwaves. I tell you what.
One more question.
We have more.
Can we ask about your relationship with your wife? How long have you guys been married?
You're not going to believe this. We are going to be married beginning of next month. It's going to be our Ruby wedding anniversary.
Meaning?
Now, do you know what that is?
What is that? No. What number is Ruby?
Mm-mm. Ruby is 40.
And you 40.
Yeah.
40 years married to the same
in
woman.
In Hollywood, please. What is the secret?
Well,
with two actors, what is the secret?
How you do this?
Okay, no, that's true. That's very tricky. There's usually some sacrifice involved, and in so far as it's very tough for two people to sustain.
Wait, I'm going to take notes.
Careers. Hold on.
I'm going to write
email,
this down.
Email
ahead,
them to
going.
Me later, please. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
So I would say, well, obviously you have to maintain great respect for one another. You have to enjoy one another's company and be amused. Juliet's been very good at getting me to see the funny side of my own personality. And then, of course, the other big trick is fidelity. It's the number one item of keeping a marriage together is, you know, and that's where actors are lucky because they get to work out a lot of their emotions, negative and positive, often on screen. As you know, they made you ladies go through the gamut during the course of your years on the air. And you just got to find a way to have a release valve and just make sure that it's not with your partner. You know what I mean? You can't, and during this pandemic, it's very, it's challenging because we're all stuck together like cats and cages.
Oh my God, you know? You are singing the truth.
So you have to be careful. I mean, I have to. I've suddenly found myself suddenly just like losing the plot for no reason. And it's just because of pent up fear, really. You know, are you ever going to work again? Are we all going to get through this? Are we going to survive this administration? You know, those kind of things press in on you. And before you realize it, you know, whatever anger that has been generated by fear, really, because there's only two real emotions at the end of the day, love and fear, right?
Right.
And so practice, make love, not war. Okay. What a cliche.
Well, I have all the respect in the world for your wife. I've watched her my whole life, and I adore
you
her.
Have.
But you can tell her this. I'm crushing on you right now.
She's a lucky lady.
Speak to me more, please. You're so engaging.
Lady. Oh, sweet. Thank you. I'm glad you're of legal age now. I don't feel so bad.
Yeah. Thank God. We've enjoyed talking to you so much, Maxwell.
Thank you.
Thank you
my
for doing
my great pleasure,
our show.
Jenny. Thank you.
Thank you.
You still both look fab. Absolutely fab.
thank you.
Back at you.
And have fun with this. You're going to get a lot of love back. I'm sure you've been receiving it for years, but people want to feel positive feelings now, not negative ones. And so you evoking the heyday of their own youth is a wonderful thing. And stay young and beautiful, both of you, and hope to see you before too long, huh?
I do. Oh wait, he didn't ask me to marry him. I thought those were his vows to me. Wow. I was at the chapel with you.
Okay. Yeah, very funny. You're going to have fun with this. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Maxwell.
Thank you, Maxwell.
Take care.
Mwah. Bye.
What a cool guy.
I'm speechless.
You are. He's like everything pretty much rolled into
the opposite of the character that he played.
Thank God. I was so worried he was going to be creepy.
Oh, no, he's back.
Well, because he played that? We don't know anything besides what he played. Wait, you guys, how come do you hear a little bit of an accent, right? But his wife is British, but he's not,
correct? It's probably rubbed off on him. You know how that works. Like when you.
It really has.
Yeah,
he's
super sexy.
Yeah, he's great. He's great.
He's very intelligent, charming, clever boy.
He also is British.
He's British.
Oh, just kidding then. Wow. Then he's a great actor because I never knew that.
No, he's also he was only in the pilot.
Well, right? He should have been in more. I'm just going on record.
No, his character was too creepy.
But I guess he had his diva moment, and then the crew didn't want him back.
I mean, wow, that'll get you not invited back. But
is that right though? Like would something like that really happen?
Yeah.
Or does the crew just deal with talent?
So it's so funny because remember, Jen, before the show, I was like, I feel like during that scene, something happened with him and Shannon, and I wasn't sure what the thing was. Mm-hmm. And now he told the story. So it was that moment that he freaked out. Okay. So it's all coming back together. I remember Shannon was like, something happened with this actor. I didn't remember what it was.
You couldn't remember what it was. You thought it was something much more scandalous, but I'm glad that it was only.
I was hoping. I was like, did he want to take you on a date? What happened? What happened? But no. It was that he did that. Interesting. Good on him. He's okay. Well, when our next thing we produce, we're gonna follow suit with my dad that he loved Maxwell Caulfield, and we're gonna put him in it. Okay.
Sounds good.
Yeah, and we need to take a break right now, so let's do that. Well, we're back. You know, another big moment from episode one was the party. That Marianne Moore's party.
What a party.
What a party that was.
Do you remember filming that night? That's the night you say you remember most about the filming that episode.
I can see us standing there right now because it was the first night that we literally had to stand like in place. They cut to us like we're standing off with Shannon. And now that we rewatched it, there were two other girls, right?
Yeah. We had two friends. Just random
you guys,
friends.
So in the episode, actually, you all drive together in the car.
Yeah.
And then Tori's not in the car when you come back.
I left her at the party. No, she has a different explanation. Donna just
I don't
magically...
remember exactly, but because it was an age thing and I could only work a certain amount of hours and the others were a year or two older. So it was...
I thought Brenda was in and Donna was out. Like she got the front seat and everything.
It's crazy. Yeah, I think. Yeah,
she did get the front seat.
I had filmed as many hours as I could
nice.
As a minor.
She was
because I was a minor, you guys, whatever.
Oh, my goodness. So Brandon Walsh and Marianne Moore kick it off. Played by Leslie Bega.
Well, can we just roll back for one second? Yeah. I'm sorry, but that scene where I talk about my nose job.
And then you have the brochure at the party? Did you notice that?
I had a brochure?
You had
I don't remember that.
I did not see that.
Oh my gosh, you have the brochure. The nose thing gets brought up again at the party. And then you're like, yeah. So then like I got this and this stuff.
I totally must have zoned out. I didn't see that part. Wow.
I made a note. It
but I tell
made
you
me
what,
LOL.
As a 16 or 17 year old girl, I had like major, like mess me up in my head. So for the rest of my life, I thought I need a nose job. Like I didn't know what a nose job was.
Oh my gosh. And that was like one of your first scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, clearly I was taking notes because episode 2, I got a nose job. Like the pilot is that's my real nose in the pilot. Just saying.
And it is beautiful.
Oh, wow. Vintage.
It's vintage.
It's your vintage nose.
It is.
That was a beautiful nose.
I wouldn't have done anything nowadays. Like, oh, my God.
See what they did
to us? It's just Hollywood.
And Jen said to me later, Jen said to me earlier when I brought this up, what'd you say?
Well, you can't go back now.
Yeah.
I was like, you can't go back now. I feel better.
So,
Marianne Moore.
Oh. It gets steamy with her.
This is so
and Brandon
exciting.
Walsh.
This is so exciting because
it is the most legendary kissing scene. Mm. I think, I think boys and girls were losing their mind across the world.
Mind. It was so hot and heavy in the jacuzzi.
The whole show was hot and heavy, but just to come out of the gate with the scene like that,
she was so sexy. I remember just thinking, oh, she's a goddess. Like all her clothes, I loved the clothes she wore, the earrings she wore, the way she talked. I was like, I think I was in love.
The epitome of Marianne Moore. Like a cool girl in high school. Like, mm-hmm. OMG. Like, I am happily married, but I want to be kissed by Marianne Moore or Leslie Bega. I mean, either or. I'm just saying.
Well, you can ask her yourself.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. This is so good. This is so good. You're kidding. She's on the line. Leslie.
Oh, my gosh.
Goddess, we are so excited to have you here with us.
You are so beautiful.
It's so nice to see you guys. Jenny, I haven't seen you since the pilot.
No. We are really happy that you're with us because I think all of America and the world wanted to really meet the actress behind the beautiful body and face.
Nice.
Brandon had many girlfriends and dates over the years of 10 years, but Marianne Moore is the one that everyone remembers.
Members, absolutely. You were so memorable, and that character was so memorable. Is that memorable? Memorable? Whoa. But that character was
she never gets flustered. She's girl-crushing.
Am I flushing?
Look at this. I'm loving this moment.
Hot,
keep going.
Memorable.
Memorable. Thank you.
So we just rewatched the episode together, the pilot. And Jen was like, oh, my gosh, her outfits were everything. And I was like, wow, she was the coolest girl. Like back in high school, that was the girl you wanted to be friends with.
Did you love what you were wearing? Because you look so comfortable in it.
I did. You know, I think for such a iconic pop culture kind of show, one thing that I can say is they really stayed ahead with the times in terms of fashion, because that really was the fashion of the time. We were coming right out of the 80s into the 90s, right?
Yeah, baby doll dresses and boots.
Like you pretty much created that look.
Yeah, those were my combat boots.
That was so good.
You know what's really interesting? I had the thing that really drew me to even auditioning for this, not only was it because of Aaron, and I hadn't met you guys, but Tim Hunter was such a phenomenal director, and
really
I had River's Edge, and my girlfriend Ione got it, of course, because she's just incredible in every way. And I remember saying to Tim, I don't care what I do, I want to work with you. And when I got the audition for this pilot and I saw who was directing it, I was like, how can I not, you know?
Yeah, we were so lucky to have him.
Because I knew that he was going to bring something kind of edgy as well through his vision, the way he shoots and the way his artistic and creative integrity works. How could you bring something edgy to primetime television through Aaron Spelling?
With teenagers involved.
And I remember coming in, I was reading for Tony Shepard, and Aaron was there and Tim was there, and I was so nervous. And I looked at Tim and I was like, you know, I've got to figure out a way. This seems like it's just going to be such an incredible show. I've got to figure out a way to you know, navigate and figure out how we can all work together on this. And I remember auditioning, and I remember leaving. There was something that was so sentimental to me, and I left, and I was walking out, and I started to cry, and I thought, this is going to be such an amazing, I predicted it. I knew it was going to be such an amazing show. Some way, somehow, just, it was something iconic for that era. And it was a voice for that era.
Yeah.
Leslie Vega, can you tell me my future? Give me some lottery numbers.
And I remember working on the show, and I remember some extras coming up and talking about you, Tori. And I said, you know, this whole thing didn't happen because of Aaron. It happened because of Tori.
What do you mean?
Well, Tony had told me that you had found the script. You had read the script and told your dad that you wanted to do something with it. It was some kind of story like that. And I was like, so this is really Tori.
That's a true story.
Yeah. Well, I told him it was good. I told him it totally mirrored what was actually happening with teens.
Right.
I mean, I did tell him to cast Jason Priestley and Shannon Doherty, but other than that, I didn't do anything.
Do you ever get like stopped or people say, oh my God, I know you from somewhere. Were you Marianne Moore? Do people ever freak out?
I mean, they know you from so many things, but from that specifically?
Right.
I get it. And sometimes I tell them they saw me on a picture on a park bench from, you know, real estate.
I was sitting on that bench. Wait, that didn't come out right. Sorry.
No, I like to fly under the radar. I always have. Even when I was in college, I was a GDI. I was always kind of like this incognito person. And I'd navigate in and out of the entertainment industry, and I was doing real estate at a very young age. Actually, I used some of my entertainment earnings from 90210 and put towards a property I bought. I've been buying properties with my entertainment money. So for me, I was like, I don't see myself in this area of the industry for a very long time. I was heading into something else.
So interesting. I believe it. You're so much like Marianne Moore. I'm like, she was very under the radar and mysterious. And you're super like, you don't know what's going to happen with you next.
You were eating sushi at lunchtime in high school.
At lunchtime.
I want to know about the kiss.
Yeah, okay. So.
I want to know.
We're going to go deep here.
Well, they already did that, but let's know about the kiss.
We have to hear about the kiss. The kiss in the hot tub.
Mm-hmm.
Spill the tea.
You know, again, I think the way it was shot, and it was so, there's something so ethereal about it, because that hot tub was in the middle of like this foliage and this yard. You know, you know where that house was, right? The Mommy Dearest house.
In the hills.
No.
Oh.
Did you know that, Jen?
That was the Mommy Dearest house.
Oh my God. I ended up being
a part of that sale when it sold recently. Now it's on Mapleton.
It was on $1 Million Listing.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there was this hot tub in the middle of this stunning foliage, the way they had built it into like the trees and the mm-hmm. bush and the foliage. Yeah. And the way Tim and the cinematographer captured that, right?
How stunning. It made it so special. Like
ethereal and beautiful and special. And
I love hearing this. Can we get to the kissing part though? Sorry.
She doesn't care about that. She wants to know the good stuff.
Well, in profile, and it was so close the way it was shot.
Jason's an awesome kisser.
There it is.
This is true. This is true.
There you guys go. You heard it here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know.
From the looks of it, he would probably say the same thing about you back in the day.
Oh,
I'm
because
gonna guess.
That kiss, that like, how did you guys get into that kiss? Because it's a very... It's a major kiss, like for TV back then. That was an open mouth, lip sucking kiss.
I don't know if I'd want my teenager watching that. Honestly, like it made me a little uncomfortable.
You sucked Jason Priestley's bottom lip. I'm just gonna put it out there. And I was right there for it.
Speaking of the kiss,
you taught me how to kiss.
You did teach them how to kiss, and your lips specifically have been a topic of conversation.
Sis, I can't believe you're bringing this up.
Just because of the beauty of them.
I cannot believe. Okay.
So I have to ask.
Can I hear first about you sucking on Jason Priestley's bottom lip?
Move on, woman.
It was like a slow, fine, artistic. It was very artistic, but that was a choice, clearly.
Oh, you know, it takes two, doesn't it? It's not. You can't just have one person kiss one person and.
You're talking about like that chemistry was there between you guys, clearly.
Mm-hmm. And he was a great kisser, and he was gorgeous, and he still is.
Didn't hurt. I saw him.
I saw him, and we hung out a couple nights. We went to dinner and hung out when I was in New York, when I was doing Sopranos. I called him and I was like, "I'm in town. What are you doing? You want to hang out?" And he, you know, you guys never change. It's like you guys never age.
Well, you either.
I mean, look in the mirror. Oh.
So during the pilot, we all heard about the kiss. Just saying. We all heard about this kiss. For lack of a better word, lips were sealed, though. But we all speculated, did they have a real-life crush on each other? Like, there's so much chemistry. And we've heard about it.
I had a big crush on him. Who didn't?
Jen, did you have a crush on Jason?
I did. I thought I appreciated everything about him, but I never had a crush on him.
Why are you so fidgety? Why are you so fidgety all of a sudden? Yeah.
We'll get to that. Brandon and Kelly are way down the line.
I've seen Brandon and Kelly kiss so many times, and then Jason and Jenny on BH90210, and it was a different kiss. It was a different type of kiss with Brandon and Marianne Moore. It just was.
That was
and
like
I'm not kidding.
Kiss.
I'm going to tell you right now, Leslie Bega, I was 16 years old and I have modeled my kissing efforts after you. And I know I'm going to be honest here. My whole life, I was always like, here's how you get a boy. You slowly suck on the bottom lip.
Kissing tips right here.
Kissing tips with Leslie Bega.
Okay.
Well, she was so mesmerized by your lips that we modeled. We wanted to have your lips. Is that weird?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I feel weird saying that. I wanted your lips.
So we were super nervous to, like, bring this up with you, and we asked our friend Sis here to bring it up, but I think we could just go for it. We feel really comfortable.
I feel comfortable with you now. It's good. We're good. We were, when we were writing the BH90210 version of a couple years ago, we were talking about you and how much we both loved you and what an impression you made to us. And we were like, what was the character's name? We can't remember. And we knew it was an M name, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We knew it was an M name, and we were racking our brains, and it was really, really irritating. And finally, I was like, the lips McGee.
Oh my God. And then she added a cuteness to it. So lips now McGee. It's like Lips McGee.
You were Lips McGee for a minute.
But it was no disrespect.
No, it was like we cherished it.
We'll never forget those lips. Mm-mm. And by the way, you guys, I just saw her 2 years ago in person. The lips are still just as beautiful in person. In her eyes and her face and her body. And she's just as kind and funny and clever in person.
Oh.
We were lucky to have you on our show.
Oh, it's so much fun. When you guys reached out, I was just so excited. I was really excited hearing you.
Fun to catch up, right? It's fun to go back this far.
I do think in that 10-year run, it was a miss not to bring Marianne Moore back at some point to see what would happen. Like, we know that later
Where'd
on, when Brandon and Kelly were together, that Emily Valentine came back into the picture.
They should have. I mean, they could have.
Marianne Moore
brought Marianne Moore back.
That would have been
happened.
Great.
Oh. If we were writing and producing it, we would have brought you back then.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And it would have been weird because there suddenly would have been like a three-way kissing scene with our characters and you. And it wouldn't have made sense, but it would have happened. And
We were listening to our voice.
Yeah. Going with our gut.
What's your Instagram? What's your?
It's at Leslie Ray Bega.
Okay. Got that, everybody.
Lips McGee, you are officially my spirit animal.
Aho.
We love you, Leslie Bega.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you so much.
Stay well.
Well, I feel like we covered everything on this first episode, ladies.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was
so much fun,
you guys. That right, Jen? Didn't you feel like you were back in the moment? Like it's pretty cool.
I liked it.
There is one thing that we haven't touched on, though.
What's that, Sissany?
Fashion.
Huge part of the pilot. How do we forget to talk about that?
I feel like the fashion was a little bit different in the pilot than it was moving forward.
Absolutely. There were a lot of things that were different, but that was one major thing. The characters.
Did you like all your outfits?
Jen?
No disrespect to the
brilliant costume designer. I remember not being excited to wear that jacket with the spandex polka dots and the blue tights. That whole I represent every color of the rainbow with that one outfit right there.
That outfit is just that everything.
Outfit is iconic. It is so epic.
But you know what? It's leaving. It's like it's a little 80s, and the 80s were behind us. This was 1990.
Yeah.
And you had like the scrunched socks.
I love that they took a chance though, and they were like, "Let's just." It was like the kitchen sink. Yeah. Let's just put it all in there.
Let's put everything on them.
So when we talk about the fashion, she always brings up that outfit. I'm like, I think it's amazing.
It scarred me
for years. I want to see you in that outfit again. But I told her, I was like, wow, we were talking about it earlier, and I was like, those polka dot shorts, like, honestly, I was like, you know,
biker shorts.
Boys across the world that were hitting pause, and it was a Polaroid at the time, and taking pictures of your camel toe. I'm just saying.
There was no pause back then. You couldn't pause it. Oh, I guess if they recorded it on VHS.
If you recorded
right.
it on your VHS, you which could we all pause did. It, which I did all the time watching yes. James Spader movies. Just saying. They would pause it, and I'm sure they would zoom in and be like, she is the hottest girl alive, and there's pictures.
I don't even know what to say
there.
Right now.
Now you're giving everyone ideas.
You are dead to me.
That was a super tight outfit. I'm dead to you? What's
dead
new?
To me. Oh, man. That was
there's something about the fashion and then also your bangs. I mean, Kelly Taylor right? really had perfection bangs.
I don't know how they got them to be so like, rolly over.
Boingy, boingy. Like,
sticky outy. I don't know. They really project quite a distance from my actual head. Some like that, you know what that is? That's some impressive blow drying skills. Right there,
you guys. I was there in person, and I'm telling you, her hair was you wanted to lick it, like it was edible. It was so perfect, and the perfect color blonde, natural blonde, by the way. And maybe because mine was dyed, I envied that. I was like, she has such perfect hair. I had like frizzy, curly hair that I had to straighten. She had this perfect bang. It was everything. Like people talk about Jennifer Aniston having the Rachel cut. Like there was the Kelly right. Taylor bang before Jennifer Aniston. There really was.
Yeah.
Well,
I've told her for years she needs
have.
To bring the bang back.
She wants me to get bangs again. I'm like, babe, my hair is different now. I don't have enough hair to have bangs anymore. Like things change.
You could do subtle ones. Like
I
just...
did. Look, I have like baby bangs right here, but they don't
I want
show
fringe.
There.
I want fringe. I'm just telling you right now.
Why? Because you don't
no
like
one
my
can
forehead.
Do it like you. No, no, you have beautiful hair. I love you with bangs.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness. Well, I think we've had quite the episode, ladies. Cool. It's time to assign our. It's time to make our homework assignment for
this
the following
so
week.
Fun. I'm really glad that we got to talk to Leslie and Maxwell. And you know what? I want to just say.
Can you say that without picking your nose?
I scratched. I didn't pick. You know what? I wanted to say thank you to everybody that's already subscribed and like spreading the word. You guys are awesome. We knew you would be there to support us. I know.
We hoped and you would have as much fun as we're having.
keep up the good work. If you guys, the reviews, you like the reviews, Tori? Because I happen to love them.
I'm a big Yelper, so when I see reviews for our podcast, it makes me feel the same. Like, if you like something, give it 5 stars, because it helps the sisters out.
Yes.
Yeah, and it helps us to know what you guys want to hear and everything. Like, I feel like everybody was really irritated that I say I don't remember. I mean, that's
where did
like
you read that?
I read it on one, just maybe a couple of the reviews. They were annoyed. They were mad about the fact that I don't remember things. And I'm mad about the fact that I don't remember things. But yeah, my memory loss is real. But I'm going to push past it. I'm going to dive in with you guys and watch every episode. And it's going to bring back all these great memories.
Go watch episode 2, everybody.
Watch the episode 2 so we can talk about it. And,
yeah.
And follow us on Instagram if you want to or don't. But we love you.
9021 OMG podcast on Instagram. Find us.
Yep. And email us at 90210@iHeartRadio.
Ask us what you want us to talk about for all the episodes. Your memory's probably a lot better than Jen's. So ask us questions and we are going to answer them.
Good idea.
There you have it.
I love it. See you next week.